Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. In Him, dear brothers and sisters. Our hearts certainly go out to all those affected by the hurricane. God, in His grace and mercy, has obviously diverted that storm from coming directly into our area. But where my heart really goes out to, where I feel saddened sometimes the most, is when I see pictures of those, not even in America, who didn't have much chance to escape. I'm thinking about those, for instance, in Haiti, who live in extreme poverty, who don't have escape routes helping them to get out, who live, let's face it, on an island where they're isn't a mainland really to drive to get safe. And so for those folks to know what is coming, in a sense would be like feeling the sentence of death perhaps coming upon you, and there is no way to escape. Certainly our hearts go out to all those affected by that tragedy. When you are going through tragedies, difficult things in life, maybe things, whether it be hurricane, whether it be something in your home, something in your life, a physical affliction, maybe you try to grasp on to certain sayings to give you comfort, or perhaps you've heard others say certain things, certain lines to give comfort as well. As a pastor, I've heard some of these sayings a number of times. Maybe you've heard a Christian say something like this during a time of difficulty. I know it's not going to be easy to get through this, but like the good book says, God helps those who help themselves. Yeah, it's been a rough year, but whenever I start to lose hope, I remind myself the way that God says it, this too shall pass. You know, there are some days when I just don't think I can take one more problem, but that's when I hold most to God's promise that He will never give us more than we can bear. God helps those who help themselves. This too shall pass. God never gives us more than we can bear. Do you know what those passages have in common? Well, two things, I guess. One is that they are probably some of the most quoted Bible passages by folks of all time, and ones that people go to again and again and again during times of distress, looking for comfort and hope. That's one thing. Number two, do you know what those Bible passages have in common? They're not actually in the Bible. Not a single one of those is actually from the Bible or a passage from the Bible. God never promises to help those who help themselves. That actually comes from an old Greek proverb. This too shall pass. That actually goes back to the story of an ancient Persian king. And it's not really even about troubles passing. It's a warning to be humble because earthly strength and wealth will pass away. This too will pass, so don't get too attached. And God never says, actually, that He won't give you more than you can bear. He says that He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. In other words, you're never going to be in a situation where you absolutely have to sin, where you have no choice but to give in to temptation and do evil. There'll always be a way out. But why do people hang on to those statements? Well, they sound good at first, don't they? If I do my part, if I try hard, then I know God will come in and give me what I need. If I work, He works with me. I'll do my best. This too shall pass. As long as I just kind of hang in there, this problem will go away. And He won't give me more than I can bear. So He's kind of like my celestial trainer. And He knows when to push me. But at just the right time, He'll press stop on the treadmill of my problems. And then I can go and get a Gatorade. I mean, it'll be okay. But the problem is those things they sound nice, and there can be good comfort taken from them. But they're not really true. Think about those 10 lepers today that we heard about, that Jesus healed. Those 10 lepers, if you told them, you know, God helps those who help themselves, well, they could try to help themselves with their leprosy all day long, but they knew they were slowly dying. You could tell them that this too shall pass, but they knew that wasn't true. Leprosy was incurable and terminal. It was an awful, slow-moving disease that killed you in the end. And you could tell them that God won't give you more than you can bear, but they'd say, what are you talking about? My body is not going to be able to bear this disease for too much longer, and eventually I am going to die. So perhaps a better place to look for words of comfort, for reason for thanksgiving, is not in these statements. And God wants you to have comfort in troubles, and God wants you to do something profound in troubles, to give thanks. And today is all about giving thanks. But each one of the readings we're looking at today involves people who are giving thanks in trouble. And to give you a reason to give thanks when you're in trouble, God has something beyond a Greek proverb or an old Persian story. These are real words of God from the Bible. And they're about a real person who is going through real trouble and had real reason to give thanks. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And this is what Paul writes. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. He says, we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters. The Greek actually says, we don't want you to be ignorant. We don't want you to be dumb about suffering. We want you to know the truth. Paul wasn't ignorant. He says, the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. What's he talking about? Well, he was in the city of Ephesus in Asia Minor with a few other missionaries, and they were preaching the good news to the locals that the true God isn't just a little silver statue that you need to bow down to and sacrifice to, but the true God is a God of love and grace and mercy who wants to have an intimate, close, personal relationship with you. And the people were enjoying that message, but the people who were making those silver little idols weren't enjoying that message because that was their revenue stream. And so they got angry. And they got a mob together. And they were going to do mob justice on Paul and his missionary friends, and they started a riot. And they dragged two of the missionaries off to beat them and who knows what. And Paul realized the only way to perhaps stop this is to jump in front of the crowd and try to speak to them. And he does, and he can't even really get words out. They are screaming at him so venomously, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" That was their local deity. And they were about to put him to death, and he realized his entire life might be coming to an end at that point in time. And from other missionary journeys, he knew how hard it could get once he was beaten so severely. They thought he was dead, and they came to bury him, and then he dusted himself off and kept walking. So he knows what these words mean. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. When he says they were under great pressure, the picture there is you're confined, you're trapped, you can't get out. It's like the people of Haiti with a hurricane bearing down upon them, and they have nowhere to go, and they feel the sentence of death. That's what he said it was like. He had no answer to his problems, and he couldn't help himself out of it, and he couldn't see how they were going to pass. And quite honestly, he says, they were more than he could bear. In fact, he said they were beyond our ability to endure. They were beyond our own power so that we felt like death. And that's the truth about suffering, a hard one that God wants you to know. But you pay me to be honest with you, so I've got to tell you the truth. At times, God might allow a problem or suffering into your life that is more than you can bear. Sometimes the cancer might get so aggressive that your body can't bear it anymore. Sometimes the hurt that you receive from someone in your life might be so intense that that scar seems to continue to be there. It just doesn't magically go away. Sometimes you might do everything you can to keep your house together, your business together, your life together, but the hurricane comes, whether literal or figurative, and it all gets blown away. And you weren't able to stop it. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. And God doesn't hide this. He's up front with you. He wants you to know that sometimes your troubles can be more than you can bear, but why? So that then you can know your escape route. So that you can know where to turn when your troubles are too much. You notice that Paul doesn't end there. After he talks about troubles too big to bear, he goes on, "But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." We're getting just a little section of this chapter here, and you're hearing a lot of big words like pressure and despair and the sentence of death. But if you read all of this chapter, and that could be your homework, you have tomorrow off. If you read this whole chapter, you'll find other words like grace and peace and compassion and comfort, 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 comfort. It resounds all through 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Has God ever given you a problem, a pressure beyond what you can bear and endure? I imagine so. And it might be even right now that you're wrestling with one of those and you feel like this physical affliction or this intellectual or emotional affliction, this loneliness, this pressure, this despair, this depression is more than you can bear and you don't see a way out. But you have reason to have confidence, a number of them, and one of them is because of where you are right now. "But I'm not in a good place in life right now, Pastor." No, you're thinking too abstract. I meant literally, where you are right now. Literally, physically. You're here. You're listening to the Word of God today. Which means what? You're not just listening to yourself. You're not just conjuring up your own ideas how you will be the captain of your own fate and soul and conquer all your problems by helping yourself. You're coming here before God and saying, "Lord, I need you. God, I'm not fine. I'm not okay. I need something bigger than me. I need you." And now God is speaking to you in His Word to tell you that He's here, that He's bigger than you are, and that He has solutions for you. And this is the amazing message that you see in Scripture. God comes to help people who can't help themselves, like you and me, because you were born dead in your sins, unable to get right with God on your own. And so Jesus plunged head first into the storm of sin that this world would whip up, and He lived perfectly for you, and He died in the eye of the storm of God's wrath on the cross and suffered hell for you and me and rose again from the dead. You were not able to get to God on your own. You were lost. You had the sentence of death eternally hanging over your head. So He said, "Here, I'm going to come and do what you can't. And I'll do it all for you and give it to you for free." And as that happened, something else amazing happened. God's wrath passed over you. That death sentence that was hanging over your head, it passed. The judge has now said you are innocent in His sight. You are forgiven. Your death sentence is passed and eternal life is yours. And yeah, you might have some problems that are too big for you to bear. And that's fine, because then you'll realize that they're not too big for God to bear. He doesn't want you to bear them by yourself. He says, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Or as Paul said, this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. And I love how he just slips this little phrase in, who raises the dead. If God can raise the dead and heal lepers and make a storm stop with a single word, is there any problem, burden, affliction, or pressure in your life that is too big for him to bear? No. And in his grace and mercy, he might allow you to have ones that are a little too big for you, so that you're forced even more to look to him, who's much bigger than you and who loves you forever. And then one other great thing happens. You start to realize you're not alone. Not only does God have your back, is he with you, but as Paul says, on him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. When Paul felt like he was going to die, it wasn't just God who was on his side. Hundreds of miles away, there were Christians who were praying for him. They might not have known exactly what he was going through. Maybe their prayer was just, dear God, please be with Pastor Paul today. We heard things are getting a little rough over there at Ephesus. Please be with him. But God heard those prayers and answered those prayers and delivered him. Someone intervened and they got Paul out of there, and he didn't die that day in Ephesus. He was delivered from the problems and the storm that he could not see a way out of. And so we pray for each other. You might not be able to help the people of Haiti right now. Maybe you can, maybe you can't, with what you can do with your time, talents, or treasures, but you can pray for them. You might not know what everyone is going through in this congregation. You might share afflictions with one another personally and privately. Well, then pray for each other as you do that, but otherwise do this. Take one of those directories home and pray for the people that you see in there that are your brothers and sisters in Christ in this church. Pray for me. I need it. Pray for me, that God's word might be powerful and effective when I preach it to you and I preach it to them out there. And God wants you to know you're not alone. Your problems sometimes are too big for you to bear. That's why he's here, and that's why we're here together, to lift each other up. You know, those 10 lepers were healed. One of them came back to Jesus. And he gave thanks. Why do you think he gave thanks?
Well, because he didn't have the disease, right?
Yeah, I think that. Because he was able to be restored to his friends and family, right? Yeah. Do you think he gave thanks that he received leprosy in the first place? Sounds strange, right? But maybe he did. Why? Because what did that leprosy do? It drove him to seek out Jesus Christ and say, this problem is too big for me to bear. I can't do it alone. I don't know if it's going to pass. I need you, Jesus. And then he heard about Jesus. He saw Jesus' power for him. He had faith in Jesus. And the sentence of death, physically and eternally, was taken away from him. What a wonderful blessing that leprosy was. It's not natural for us to say, thank you, Lord, for this problem and this affliction. But if we have a God who loves us enough to die for us, and a God who's powerful enough to raise the dead, if we have a God who helps those who can't help themselves, a God who promises that all our problems will pass and that we'll be with him forever in heaven, and a God who says that he's bigger than all of our burdens, we can give thanks in storm or calm, in life or in death, because our lives are in his hands. May you give thanks to him this day and always. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds through faith in Him. Amen.